Hello, Husker fans. Welcome to episode 246 of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I'm Mike Harvat.
And I'm Justin Swanson.
In today's episode, we react to Nebraska's victory over Buffalo and look forward to the 50th anniversary of the game of the century. We also hear from you on the Runza Reaction Line.
You can find us on the web at huskerpod.com or by searching Husker Football Fan Podcast on Facebook. You can also connect with us on Twitter by following at huskerpod or email us at huskerpod@gmail.com. This episode is brought to you by Central Nebraska Buffalo. Check out their website for their latest deals, that's cnbuffalo.com, and stick around to the end of the show to find out if you won our Beat 'em and Eat 'em promo.
Also brought to you by Monty Rohde with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. Looking to buy or sell a home in Lincoln or know somebody who is? Reach out to Monty at 402-770-3356.
You know, it wasn't that hot. It was really hot.
Are you kidding me?
I didn't want to, like, die.
Okay.
I was more miserable at Illinois.
Really? Well, for other reasons, I'm sure.
No, I mean, well, that one was at noon, right?
Okay.
And also, I think it was humid, and we just kind of baked, and also it was facing the sun.
Mm.
So this time, it was at, you know, 2:30, which happened to be about the heat of the day, but, you know, the sun's past its zenith.
Right.
It was not humid. There was a little bit of a breeze.
I imagine there were some people in the shade by the time you even had kickoff.
You know what? It was the West Stadium had a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second half, I was like, guys, this is the shade. It's coming. And people were like, yeah, it's going to get here right as the game ends. And it probably got to us with like 5 minutes left in regulation. So.
Justin.
I'll tell you what, when Adrian was chugging down the field on his really long run,
right.
Like, everybody was visibly gassed, I thought. And he was like, with like 40 yards to go, kind of like, oh my gosh, like, I still have a long ways.
I could tell.
And then there was, you know, two defenders stayed down when, mm-hmm. when the play ended. And I think there was a lot of cramping and, you know, it was a hot day, but it wasn't as, you know, it didn't feel like one of the circles of Dante's Inferno of hell, you know, like.
It made for a long game. Like, I don't know if you felt that, but it kind of, the fourth quarter was just like, they're still playing?
It got slowed down
by people, like, there was a lot of people that were on the ground during that game. And I think it was, like you were saying, cramps and just not, they were wilting.
Yeah. Yeah. And fortunately, the defense did not wilt.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know. That was the fear, I think. You know, the offense, did we score fewer points than got left off the scoreboard? So it was, what, 3 touchdowns called back, 1 turned into a field goal. So that's 14 plus, like, 4 points. So 18 plus 3 missed field goals, 27. So, and we scored 28 points. So we missed out on almost the same amount of points that we scored. So it should have felt like a really comfortable game.
Right. And you know what? How was the reaction in the stadium? Because I saw a lot of people hemming and hawing about like, oh, here we go again. But I don't know, watching it, I was like, yeah, there's all this craziness. And, you know, if you want to be a conspiracy theorist, this is a great game to make the case for officials don't like Nebraska. But, like, at no point was there ever any doubt that we were going to win this game.
Yeah, you know, I would say there was a sense of, like, here we go again, but it was not ever, like, I didn't think people were freaking out.
People weren't exasperated.
People were, like, just, like, edge of your seat, nervous like you are in the first plays of any game
mm-hmm.
for way longer than maybe we should have been.
You know, you could make the argument, it was maybe warranted at the beginning because, what, we didn't score until the second quarter, right? So when you're 0-0 with the Buffalo Bulls through 15 minutes of play, that's not the best thing to be looking at.
But here's the thing is they were not a bad team. I mean, mm-hmm. before their head coach got fired, or no, not fired, before he left for a new job, this was like a tough game. So the only reason I think we all felt like this was a one we'd probably win with some level of comfort was just because it was a whole new system. And it was kind of like late in the cycle too. It wasn't like he jumped ship right at the end of the season. I think it was a little later into the off season. Yep. So that, you know, I actually had the chance to hear the athletic director talk earlier on Saturday, and his take was that they would be an aggressive defense and that you would maybe be a little bit frustrated in the first quarter, maybe even the first half, because they'd be gambling a little bit and they'd frustrate the offense, but that in the long run there would be some big opportunities if you can just capitalize. And you know, I think that's the story of the game is you know, two big touchdown passes to Torre, one really long pass to, or a scramble rather, and then an interception to get down to the one and then punch it in.
Yeah.
So, you know, the more methodical plays, because the touchdowns that were called back, one was maybe 30 yards, right? But the others weren't huge plays, were they?
I don't remember that, you know?
I don't remember that well. Anyway, last week you and I were kind of bemoaning the fact that the longest run was like 21 yards against Fordham. Well, here this team lined up specifically to stop the run. And in spite of that, we were able to rattle off at least one really big run. And then we were able to rip off the top with three long passes. That was awesome. That
you know what's awesome. Funny to me, though? I'm looking at the breakdown of the game. And even against Buffalo, we didn't score in the third quarter. Come on.
We are just not a third quarter team.
Like, we haven't been for like a decade. Was that one of your trivia questions last year?
Yeah.
Their only points came in the third quarter, but we couldn't find a way to score in the third quarter.
Not a great day for kickers.
Yeah.
For
field goal kickers
specifically.
Like, and you know, like at this point, Culp's got to be in his own head. Like, I feel bad for the kid.
That's got to be it. Yeah. Well, and then did you see where he came out and talked to the media after the game?
I did not.
Yeah. He just said, you know, I'm doing my best. I mean, I really, the fact that he came out shows that he's got some guts.
Yeah.
And,
well, one could argue that his last attempt should have been called a field goal.
Because well, so you were watching on TV, right?
Yeah.
It looked good.
It had to be. It was a judgment call. It was a 50-50 call by the officials because it was above the uprights. And I guess from their angle, they decided it wasn't in. I mean, because I don't know if you saw, but he himself, he thought it was good. Like, he put his hands up like, that's a field goal, right? And then he kind of reacted poorly when he saw them saying it was no good.
How did he react? I couldn't see that.
I don't know if he yelled at him, but he looked like he was really mad because he believed that it was a field goal and they didn't call it. So I'm sure the frustration on the sidelines from some of those bad calls throughout the game, that was just more fuel to the fire, and he was pretty upset with that call. But I never saw
the replay of the first pass that was taken off the touchdown, the first touchdown was taken off the scoreboard. I figured it was probably a pick play because the guy was so wide open.
It's interesting because when I watched it, I was like, yeah, I guess maybe that was a pick. But then they actually brought in a rules expert on television who said, I mean, you could argue that this is a pick, but this happens all the time and does not get called.
Didn't that happen to us last week or the week before too? That's happened to us already this season.
I know we've got called for a pick play, but like he was saying, this one was more just a couple of guys bumped into each other while a guy was running his route, more so than it was necessarily him going up and blocking somebody. So at least their quote-unquote rules expert, he was saying this is not something that gets called most of the time. So
I got to tell you, the crowd was not favorable towards the refs. And my throat is like sore today, probably from being like boo.
Sure,
boo.
Right.
I mean, that was just garbage. there's calls where you're like, oh man, there's no way, and then you see the replay, you're like, oh no.
Yep.
That's probably fair. But man, even that pitch, like, what did they say about the pitch on TV?
The announcers called that a 50-50 play, and they were commending Frost for maintaining his composure for not getting any of the 50-50 calls throughout the day. So, like, even the commentators on television were pretty sympathetic towards Frost and the fact that none of the calls seem to be going his way.
Here's one thing. I feel like I've already seen that highlight, you know, 10, 20 times. I can never tell where the line of scrimmage is. Did you have a sense of how close he was to the line of scrimmage when he pitched it? Okay.
Nope. Half of Martinez's pitches on these options this season, I felt like he's past the line of scrimmage. He waits until the last second.
I mean,
man.
You can do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of the guys, he had a really great option play running into the south end zone. And some of the guys I was sitting with would be like, oh, if he fake pitches, not people I know, people around me. Oh, if he fake pitches it, he's in the end zone. Like, come on. I'm like, guys,
yeah,
cut the guy some slack. I will tell you.
I think he's doing a great job running the option. No,
I will tell you that I don't have inside sources or anything, but people who I know who saw practice in fall camp said they're working on option. So that's something that's been coming along.
Mm.
And I feel like they've used it really well. I'm very pleased with how they've used option.
Yeah, I think it's great.
They had hopefully they've got the wishbone. They rolled the wishbone out against Oklahoma next week. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I never really watched that show.
Funny.
Remember the episode when he cut off his sleeves because he wanted to be cool and play basketball?
I thought you said you never watched the show.
My sister did.
Uh-huh. So, you know, it's Mike, how do you feel about the rotation at running back? I'm not necessarily saying like who in which order. I'm just like the fact that there is one. Like, what do you think about that?
I think more than anything, like yesterday, it was let's keep all our guys fresh. I felt like they rotated a lot of people just because of the weather.
OK, I didn't think much about the weather. I guess that could be definitely a factor.
Personally, it doesn't bother me. I mean, we've been doing the whole running back by committee thing for years, it feels like now. Like, when was the last time we had a star running back? Like, I think back to
Rex.
Yeah, I was going to say Rex and Abdullah. Like, those are Abdullah, the two that come to mind for me.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. There does feel, I'm looking here at running backs and it feels like there's a pretty clear line of demarcation with Gabe Irvin Jr. has 10 carries for 56 yards and two touchdowns. That's a 5.6 yard average. And then, you know, crucially, a 21 yard carry. Sevion, 8 carries, so almost the same amount, but half the yardage, 24 yards, three yard average. Marquise Stepp, 9 carries for 17 yards. He's not even averaging 2 yards a carry. That's not going to do it.
Yeah.
And Ramir, 4 carries for 9 yards. So, you know, it was a team that was packing the box and it took a really long time. I will say we've talked a lot both on the show and then have like screamed into the void like, why can't Frost commit to running the football? And it really felt like that this game Frost's play calling was like, look, guys, I'm doing it. Look, I'm doing it. They're stacking the box and I'm running it. Aren't you happy? there were a lot of 2 yard gains, 1 yard gain, 2 yard gain.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Martinez has 112 yards on 9 carries. I'm going to do some quick math because you take 112 and you subtract 71. He had 41 yards on 8 carries for a 5 yard average. So, I mean, he's our best running back, or he's our best, our best option, I guess.
It's because his legs are 5 feet long.
He's really fast and he's really elusive and I appreciate the commitment to making the running game work. Let's keep pounding away. Maybe
I like that. There was that one like designed run. Like, I mean, yes, he does these like panic runs that somehow end up being like for like 17 yards every game, it seems. You know, but like there was a designed run in the game yesterday that was just like beautiful. I loved it. It was nice.
Up the middle?
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. It was like third and five or something. Mm-hmm. It was a great call. I was going to say, I don't know that Stepp had a carry in the second half.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. There was a photo of him in the weight room afterwards when they're doing interviews and he was pumping iron. Ironically, he was doing arms, but I don't know if that was some frustration or maybe he likes a post-game workout. I'm not sure. Well, anyway, I feel like 28-3 is not you know, it doesn't pop off the scoreboard as you're, you know, if you're not a Nebraska fan and you're scrolling through scores, you're not blown away by that.
But you're also not like, oh my gosh, that was close, you know.
Yeah, no, but I feel like we saw growth. We saw, you know, even growth on the play calling front.
Yeah, and looking at that score, 28-3, like for real, flip a coin any other day with any other officials, that could easily be 42-3.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's a great point.
Like, you know, you play this game, you know, you run it through like a simulation like 100 times. This is probably on the lower end of the spectrum of what the scores are if the game is played exactly the same way every
time.
That's
a good take. Yeah.
So I'm okay with it, man. With all the craziness in that game, I'm not bothered at all.
You know, to go back to the three things that Frost and company talked a lot about all summer and that we were harping on after the Illinois game. So you got turnovers, special teams, and what's the other one? Stupid penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we did turn it over once. We had another special teams muff issue.
It's almost like we need a dedicated coach for special teams.
That Mike is pounding that drum.
I mean, honestly, at this point, it's just like, you know, that tweet exists. I'm just going to remind everybody about it.
there was actually a moment where I think that Torre, they want him to do the goal line receptions, but there was a moment in the first or second quarter when they got the three and out and the punt team was coming on and Cam Taylor Britt ran back and I'm pretty sure he waved off Torre saying, no, I got it.
Hmm.
I think he feels a lot more confident with in the center of the field.
Hmm.
He feels a little snake bit back there on the goal line, which sure. He should.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Some people I've heard, some reactions I've heard said that was just a really tough call, a really tough situation with that fumble where you got to be Ellen Peter and get away from the ball. And it was like a collective failure that it wasn't necessarily Cam Taylor Britt's fault.
Oh, I don't think it was his fault at all.
Nevertheless, he was in there.
Yeah. So maybe partially his fault.
Yeah. So anyway, I started off by saying turnovers. So we did have one turnover, but the offense didn't turn it over. No fumbles, no interceptions. And we got a really timely interception taken to the 1 yard line. That that really, I think, sealed it. Like, yep. That if there was gonna be a comeback, that sealed it. So, you know, on that respect, since we broke even, we can't say we won it, but I feel good about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Special teams, I mean, Connor Culp's 0 for 3. You can't look past that. Yeah. He made all four of his extra points. That's growth. Daniel Cherney. Is it Cherney as opposed to Cerny? I feel like we said Cerny all summer, and now I'm hearing the announcer say Cherney.
It's the Cerny.
Yeah, well, it's Australian, so he averaged 36 yards.
I'm glad you kept talking because I was very, very tempted to do a really poor Australian impression that probably would not
glad
be seen
I
as respectful. So,
he didn't pin any inside the 20 yard line. His longest was 41.
Hmm.
But I mean, return yardage, they didn't have any punt return yards.
Right.
So, and I think most of them were inside the 25, if not the 20, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The guys sitting near me were really negative on him, too.
Hmm.
I mean, it sounds like he came from Australian rules football, where he was used to being a much more physical player, and that's kind of why he sat out last year, because he was maybe being a more physical player, and he got hurt. And so
was it like USC or something? There's some game on Saturday night where a guy got speared, like, on the very first play of the game, the kicker speared a dude, and the kicker got ejected from the game from targeting.
My brother
was telling me about it. I'll have to get his get that information from him. Maybe we'll put it on Twitter. Bill, if you're listening to this, send me the link to the footage of that dude spearing a guy.
Is this your primary mode of communication with your brother? You talk at him through your podcast?
No. I was with him in person today. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that would be kind of funny. So, okay. So we were just talking about special teams. So punting, it could be better. It could definitely be better, but I do feel like his punts are harder to return. There's a little bit more of a like wild card factor there. There's definitely some room for growth there. So just wait till you see the our SP Plus special teams.
Oh, letter. No. Are we going to do another like century mark watch?
Let me just say it'll be important to figure out exactly how many teams play in FBS.
Oh, no.
but hey, touchbacks, man. Touchbacks mm-hmm. from kickoff. I don't think there were any kick returns.
I think there might have been one.
There were a couple. Okay, so there were two kick returns. I'm looking at it. There were two kick returns, but the longest was 22 yards, which if you're catching it in the end zone, you know, that's short of the 25. That's a bunch of touchbacks. So yeah. That continues to be an encouraging thing. I can't remember the dude's name. I think he's from a converted soccer player from Gretna. So there are some strides, but 9 points left on the field by missed kicks. Yep. Oddly, 9 points left on the field by Buffalo for missed kicks. So I didn't feel like the air was swirling. I don't know. Here, I'm gonna click on this guy's name from Buffalo and see if we can have any history here. Yeah, he's a 40% field goal kicker.
Is that good?
Last year he was 25%. He was 1-for-4 last year. This year he's 2-of-5. 2019 he was 10-of-15. You know, field goal kicking might not be your calling. I'm not even going to say his name because it's rude. Obviously his name is on the roster and he was on national TV. But so anyway, okay. So special teams, some areas of improvement, some huge glaring weaknesses, turnovers. Trending in the right direction. Penalties. 9 for 71 yards and just some real stinkers, some real backbreakers. They had them too, but theirs didn't take points off the board like ours
did. Yeah. But you could argue that some of those calls shouldn't have been made.
Right.
Overall, it didn't seem like a game where there was too much laundry on the field, except for when there were a couple of bad calls. It didn't strike me as an undisciplined game. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Well, I did say earlier that my voice is still a little bit hoarse from booing the refs off the field.
There was the booing of the refs, but I mean, like, take those calls out. I don't feel like it was, like, I don't feel like our team was off track. See,
I say this without irony. You take the three flags that took touchdowns off the field, off the scoreboard, off the total, then you're down to 6, and
that's less than 2 per quarter.
Six. It doesn't feel like there's any like really bad like jumping off sides. I don't think we had a bad snap this game.
Hey, Justin.
Yeah.
Can you explain to me how an offense gets called for encroachment?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that was other than...
I was legitimately confused. I tweeted about it, and I don't think anybody responded to me.
Nobody responded for you, yeah. Mike, I don't really know the answer to your question, so I'm Googling it right now.
Okay.
Right now I'm in the NCAA rulebook, section 18, encroachment and offside, article 1. After the ball is ready to play, encroachment occurs when an offensive player is in or beyond the neutral zone after the snapper touches or simulates hands at or below his knees, touching the ball before the snap. Exception when the ball is put in play, the snapper is not encroaching when he is in the neutral zone.
So kind of like just like getting set offsides, basically?
Yeah, when an offensive player is in or beyond the neutral zone after the snapper touches or simulates. So, yeah, I don't know why you don't just say, like, lining up in the neutral zone.
Yeah,
lining up in the neutral zone.
Yeah.
But it's not, but you didn't line up before, you didn't put your hand in the dirt before the center. You did it after the center did.
Yeah.
You encroached.
And it's not necessarily a false start because you'd have to be set. Okay.
I don't know why. Don't they just sometimes say lining up in the neutral zone?
Yes, I hear that all the time.
Maybe lining up in the neutral zone means you put your hand in the dirt before the center put his hand on the ball.
Yeah, who knows?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. But hey, it went against them and not us.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay, I couldn't remember.
Yep.
All that to say, it does feel like, even though there were some really terrible penalties, it does feel like maybe they're trending in the right direction, and we need to have a really clean game next week if we want to have any chance of winning.
Yeah. But before we start talking about Oklahoma just yet, I do want to get to the voicemails today, Justin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There are a couple of voicemails, and I think we need to have a little heart-to-heart with our listeners. And I'll explain myself after this first voicemail. This one comes from Joe.
My name is Joe, and my reaction is same story, different week. This team's terrible, poorly coached. I think that was evident by leaving so many points on the board, penalties. It's pretty ridiculous, and it's just it's time to move on. Scott Frost has given us no empirical evidence that that he's going to be successful at Nebraska, and that's it.
Wow, Joe coming in hot.
All right. Justin, before I say my piece, I want to hear from you. What is your take after the third game on Nebraska fans saying that we need to move on from Scott Frost?
I mean, you can have that opinion, but it's not going to happen right now. He's not going to get fired in season.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we won the game. They're, you know, I don't want to just be an apologist for Husker football. I want to have a critical eye on things.
Mm-hmm.
But it is game three. We did just beat two overmatched opponents. The defense hasn't allowed a touchdown in like six quarters. Last year was a COVID year. I'm frustrated. We're all frustrated, but the answer to frustration, I think at this point, is not firing him. Also, he has like a $20 million buyout. So,
I mean, we're stuck with him for, let's at least try to ride this out for a couple years is what you're saying.
Even if you really, we just have to keep going with him. Mm. And if you're so frustrated that you want him to get fired, I mean, maybe it's time to just take a step back on Saturday and mow your lawn during the game or go for a run. Get out the guitar from the closet and strum a few power chords.
Okay. So I appreciate that. For me, I just kind of have the attitude of people need to stop talking like this season is totally lost just because we lost to Illinois.
Sure.
There is a lot of football left to be played.
It was game one.
You know, you could kind of put an asterisk on this next week. There are a lot of people who are saying that it's a certainty that Oklahoma is going to win. We'll talk about that in a second. But I just feel like, hey, at least give this season a chance to be played out before you pass a judgment on the entire season. We don't know what's going to happen over the next few weeks. This team is continuing to grow. Even if we do lose this next week, there's still an opportunity there for lessons to be learned, for them to get themselves into shape, to head into the back half of the season and do some really good stuff. So I think Husker Nation, I think our listeners, our friends on Twitter, let's kind of pump the brakes on the, like, Scott Frost isn't the guy just yet. Like, you can think it. But we don't. I think we need to just press pause on having that discussion and maybe wait for the end of the season to have some of those chats. There's going to be plenty of time in the offseason to talk about whatever you want. Now, I want to just keep talking about football and what we have in front of us.
If you want to talk about like bringing value to the conversation, like what value does that bring to say no, he needs to go? Because like once you've reached that decision and you're not going to budge on it. Like, yeah, what value is there in you even watching the games if you've already decided?
Mm.
So you're either going to not change your mind based on what you see, or, you know, maybe things turn around a little bit. You're just not open to that. So appreciate the call. Appreciate the listen and the interaction. And I hope, Joe, that you can grin and bear it.
And you know what, Joe? This is not necessarily directed at you. You know, you're not the only one I'm hearing saying this kind of thing. You know, I even have family members who are saying they don't think Scott Frost is the guy, you know? So, like, you know, if you want to maybe defend your position, feel free to chime in. You can send us another voicemail. You can tweet at us. You can clarify your position and maybe even tell us why we're wrong to be saying this. We'll certainly give you that platform if you want to speak up about it. But
I mean, that's no guarantee it makes the show next week.
Sure. But I'm just, at the end of the day, I'm trying to say, hey, we're all friends here. This is, you know, this is... no hard feelings. It's not personal. We're just looking bird's eye view at the whole Scott Frost thing right now. And your voicemail gave us a chance to do that. So, yeah.
All right.
With that said, here is Mr. Ben from Iowa.
Hey, this is Ben from Iowa. Happy for the win. Unfortunately, it didn't look as good as we would have liked, but the scoreboard looked pretty all right at the end of the day. Clean up a lot of those penalties, but it seemed like the officiating crew didn't like us very much either, so they got to throw a few more flags on us than probably we deserved. That doesn't have me feeling too good about Oklahoma next week, but at least we have a winning season right now, so go Big Red.
You know, I feel like Ben is really echoing a lot of the conversation we've just had. There's some weird officiating, maybe some slop on our part. We need to clean that up if we want to have a chance next week. But yeah, there was, you know, when none of the 50-50 calls go your way, you got to start to wonder what's going on there. Trying not to get conspiratorial, but that was lame.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, Ben's saying he doesn't feel too good about Oklahoma next week. So I think it's time for us to maybe start talking about Oklahoma. But before we do that, I know, Justin, you have a long snapper update.
Not much. Well, I just want to say that I feel like the snaps have been sound, and I don't know that 0 of 3 field goals. You know, you got to look at everything here, and I think one stat. People don't look at long snaps, and I don't think the long snaps are the issue is what I'm saying, or what okay. I want to say, rather. The snap seems sound. I can't speak to the holds. I can't, you know, I haven't been able to see if the laces are out or not, but it seems like, you know, from everything we're seeing and our friends who have an eye for this are seeing that the snaps are sound. So.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say, I think you'd be hearing about that if that were an issue. Like you'd hear people saying, well, like you can't blame the kicker for it. Look at the bad hold he got, you know,
the snap was above his head. Right, like, yeah. You know, he didn't have time. Yeah. It just seems like everything mechanically leading up to the kick, or, you know, all the steps that have to happen are happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he's got the yips, you know? Remember when a Wisconsin quarterback had the yips mm-hmm. a few years ago and, like, couldn't throw the ball? Or, like, Simone Biles. He's not flipping in the air where he could land on his neck and die. You know, he's kicking a ball. So the risk to his body is not as high as hers, but, you know, maybe something like that, where it's just, like, can't do it right now.
Dear listener, try not to think about breathing right now. You can't do it, can you?
Can't not think about breathing?
You can't not think about breathing. Wait, can't not think about breathing once somebody tells you.
Are you trying to kill our listeners, Mike?
What I'm trying to say, it's like when somebody tells you not to imagine a penguin. And like, well, right now in your brain, you can't help but picture a penguin, right? Same thing it's here. True.
I saw penguins today.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
Omaha Zoo.
Oh, you were in Omaha.
We had.
And you didn't call me.
Sorry, Mike.
I'm kidding. You're in Omaha all the time. Your family's here.
I'm actually not in Omaha very often these days. But
what the heck?
Yeah. No, work had a gathering at the zoo, and dude, we saw like everything.
That's great. Did you hear that? Like hippo or something got out the other day.
A rhino. Yeah, those are scary, man.
That's crazy.
I think the lower level of the jungle was closed, and we didn't do the upper level of the desert dome, but I think we saw everything else.
Dude, the upper level of the desert dome is so flipping boring to me. Like, I could care less. But downstairs is cool.
Yeah, and it was, like, the last thing we did, too. So, like, earlier this week, we were like, kids, we're going to the zoo, which they've been asking for all summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that we had a free shot at it with work here. So, what animals do you want to see? And my son wanted to see bats and alligators. I was like, well, dude, we will see that.
That's great.
And I don't remember. Maybe it's because I had little children that I was responsible for me for with me. But I was like creeped out down in the kingdoms of the night where it's dark and the alligator is like, you know, right on the other side of the fence from you. It's unnerving.
Sure. I think that there is an illusion of it being more dangerous than it actually is.
No, it's not dangerous. I'm just saying it's unnerving.
Sure.
Especially okay. with, I've got, yeah. You know, the
You're thinking to yourself, it, you know, this thing could eat my child in one bite. Yeah, I get
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's so big.
Mm-hmm.
And Ernest was like, can you shine your flashlight on it? I was like, no, it's the kingdom of the night. That's rude. And then I looked around. And I was like, I'm going to shine my flashlight. I want to see this thing. It's like right here. And then like its eyes are like, you know, if there was no fence, I could probably reach out and almost touch it. And
yeah. So that
was...
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's awesome.
Hadn't been to the zoo in a couple of years. Good trip.
So anyway, speaking of...
They're not a sponsor of ours.
Speaking of alligators, Oklahoma, huh?
It's just like, what? What's the transition here? Oh, Oklahoma, SP+, pretty scary. They are number 2 overall. Their offense is number 1 overall. Defense is 15th. Special teams is 7th. And... let's see, Spencer Rattler is 50 of 65 for 547 yards. It's 77% completion rate. Over 8 yards a catch. 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, been sacked a couple times. Running back Kenny Brooks has carried the ball 20 times for 135 yards. Eric Gray has run 18 times for 100 yards. Marvin Mims, 6 receptions for 136 yards. He's averaging 22 yards a catch. Mario Williams, 10 receptions for 86 yards and a couple touchdowns. But, you know, they just... I want to say they haven't been tested. Tulane, they let off the gas against Tulane in their opening game and ended up being kind of close on scoreboard, 40-35. And then Western Carolina, 76-0. So it's just really hard to know much about this team. Other than, you know, they've got a Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback. And... they're just no glaring weaknesses other than maybe they don't get fired up in the second half when they think they're blowing a team out. Their field goal kicker has missed a field goal.
Hey.
5 of 6.
The playing field is level.
Yeah. Ish.
So you want to hear my Ohio State take?
Your Ohio State take? Okay.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Everybody's saying we can't win this game.
Okay.
Everybody's saying that you know, I saw some thing that said what they opened, and I'm talking about Oklahoma now. Oklahoma opened as like a 28 or something point
looks
favorite.
Like 22.
Okay, 22 point right favorite. So more than three touchdowns favored over us this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm looking at ESPN's got like the game. We have like a 9% chance of winning.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know what FPI predicted for Ohio State winning the game this past weekend against the Ducks?
Sure. Yeah.
88.5% chance of a victory from Ohio State.
Really?
I don't want to hear anybody tell me that we can't win this game. Is it highly unlikely? Yes. But it was highly unlikely for Oregon to defeat Ohio State. Now, mind you, Oregon was ranked.
Yeah.
But still.
A better team than us.
That was a game that I bet Ohio State thought they had in the bag. And they lost at home to Oregon. So I'm going to keep ringing this bell. I think Nebraska can go down to Oklahoma this weekend. And they can punch them in the mouth and catch them off guard. And maybe make something happen here. I would love it. Do I think it's going to happen? I don't know. I hope it does. I hope it does. But that's the attitude with which I will be approaching the game on Saturday. I do not want to be a fan who's like, all right, I guess we got to go watch our favorite team lose today. You don't know that. Let them play the game. We'll see how it plays out.
Fair enough, man. So with all that being said and, you know, a quick rundown on stats there, do you have a score prediction?
I am going to take note of what time it is because I don't. give me just a second here. I do have a score. Are you ready?
Game. Sorry, I was doing some math from last week's game. Let me think real quick. Are you looking at this?
I am now, but I already have mine written down.
Okay, I got one. Go ahead. Or I can go first.
Okay. Well, you asked me, do I have a score, so it'll be easy for me to just...
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to play the odds here a little bit. I don't have a traditional football score prediction this time, but I'm feeling pretty good about 28-27 Nebraska.
Okay. All right. Now, is that a blowout when we let them back in at the end, or is that a...
No. They miss an extra point at the end of the game to lose.
Oh, man. That'd be awesome. I'll go with the classic score 35-31. Maybe we get a punt return for a touchdown in there.
Be all for it.
I don't know that happens.
We'll get a freshman who changes his Twitter handle to don't punt at me.
Ooh. DPO, DPE, depending on how you observe. Last week, Mike, by the way, I think you won between the two of us because you
had smart.
You were lower on your guess.
Oh, okay, just in general.
Yeah, had 38-15, so I think you were off by 18. I had 31-21, so I was off by 21.
Gotcha.
So one for Mike.
Hey, there you go.
I think we're 1-1. I don't know, though.
I'll take it.
Hey, do you want to know where Nebraska's at in SP Plus? We talked about Oklahoma.
Oh, right. Yeah, let's hear about it.
Well, so remember, we haven't had an updated... This is the third game we're reacting to, and this is the first time we've had updated SP Plus numbers because our week zero, they didn't do any updated numbers after that. And then week one, there were games all through the weekend and even to Monday, so they didn't get them out before we finished it. So that's why we just now have... new numbers, and overall we are 31, which is actually up one spot.
That's actually better than I expected. I'll take that.
Yeah, I was actually scrolled past 31 looking for us and then had to go back up. Offensively, we're 43, which is up three spots. We are 29, which is the same, which is, you know, a lot of returning guys, so that's interesting. Like, maybe
defensively,
that makes sense.
Defensively.
Special teams, 128. I'm looking here. There are 130 130 teams in FBS.
Oh my gosh.
So we're 31 overall and we have the 128th best or worst, I guess you could say, special teams. I'm looking here. The team that's actually at 128 overall is the one that is 129th in special teams. And the team that is 129th, so that's UMass. And then UConn is 129th overall, and they're 130th in special teams.
Jeez.
So you go from the very bottom of the barrel overall all the way up to 31 to get the third worst team.
When you think about it, man, special teams, I mean, you look at the offense and defense, and golly, I can't help but think unless they clean up their act, that could be the difference in some games coming up. Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, Frost has like some record of the most games lost by one score, you know, one score of losses in the last 3 or 4 years. And having the 128th special teams, that'll do that.
Yeah.
That'll do that.
Wow.
And it's like a running joke on this show. But it's not funny.
Yeah, no, not at all.
I mean, we're kind of chuckling here, but
it's a nervous laughter.
Yeah, you gotta think. And the crazy thing is, we got an all Big Ten returning kicker.
Yeah.
So, you know, just as
well,
a thought exercise,
I remember last year I was making comments about how, hey, at least our kicker's kind of holding it down for us this year. Oh, how things.
Well,
have
that's
changed.
That's what I was just gonna say. It's kind of like a thought experiment. Say that you have actual all Big Ten Connor Culp this year. I mean, that number, I mean, he's, you know, all respect due. I'm not the one doing it. It's him, but he's the one dragging that number down. Mm-hmm. Him and Cam Taylor Britt, who has a safety and two fumbles to his name. I guess that one today or Saturday isn't technically to his name, but you know, he was back there to catch it.
His,
so
blame it on somebody else's calf.
Punting is below average right now, although the returns have not been there. I mean, they haven't been returning on us, and there's been no substantial kick returns because of touchbacks. So that's a plus. Touchbacks are a plus. I'm going to say, you know, net neutral punt returns haven't really been that substantial, so that's good. But yeah, the punt returns and the kicker, man. Connor, I feel bad. I mean, he probably, like you said, he thought he made that last one. He probably thought, this is it. I got it back. Yeah. I've turned it around. Ugh.
But hey, I wish him all the best. I hope he doesn't listen to this episode because...
don't think he's tuning in.
Yeah, but I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, I don't want to be perceived as, like, we're not coming down hard on this guy, right? Like,
no,
we're just making observations.
And there's one thing you can say about Frost is that he sticks with his guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Frost is, he's going to back him. He clearly thinks he gives us the best shot to be successful. And so, you know, hopefully he can come out of the gutter that he's in. And Frost, I am confident, will stick with him. But yeah, the season doesn't get any easier just glancing through SP rankings. So we've got number 3, Oklahoma. Michigan is number 6 in SP Plus. Mm. SP Plus loves Michigan. They're 6th overall, 13th offense, 9th defense, 5th special teams. And then Wisconsin's at 8. And Iowa, you got to drop down a little bit here to 15. Do we play Maryland this year? They're at 25.
So. That's not ringing a bell for me this year.
I can't remember right now off the top of my head. So, yeah. Anyway, tough schedule. Great opportunities, though. Speaking of great opportunities, you, dear listener, had a great opportunity to win 3 pounds of ground bison. And was it a ribeye steak? Is that what we said in our posting?
Yes.
And... we are excited to let you know that we have a winner. It was a ribeye steak. I just confirmed.
Was it me? Did I win?
No. Wasn't you. Not anybody who's related to us.
Gee dang it. That's the whole reason I got into this is because I wanted to, like, win free meat.
The winner is... Diane from York.
Hey! Congratulations, Diane.
Thanks to everybody who shared the post. Thanks to Central Nebraska Buffalo, Kendra, for donating the ground and the steak. And Diane, we will work on getting that to you.
I am going to retire from this podcast because my 7-year long con to get free bison meat just crumbled before my very eyes.
Failure.
I guess I'm going to have to support a local business and buy some anyway. I feel like I need to put in a little, like, a ding or something there. And friends, we also want to commend to you Mr. Monty Rohde with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. It is no secret that it has been a wild ride in terms of real estate over the last year and a half. And Justin, if I'm going for any type of ride at an amusement park, I'm double checking the harness, you know, I'm pulling up on that lap bar to make sure that I'm secure. And if you want to feel secure, you need a decent guide when it comes to real estate. And it just so happens that we have one of the best choices out there for you, Mr. Monty Rohde. He's going to personalize the experience for you. He is going to be there with you every step of the way. So whether you are in the middle of looking for a home or perhaps thinking about selling your home, wherever you are on your real estate journey, now is the perfect time to reach out. So the way you can get a hold of Monty is by calling 402-770-3356. He'd love to start that conversation with you today.
Do it.
That's a different company. Local, though.
Yeah.
Godfather's Pizza. Come on, man.
No, I know. I didn't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
All right. I think with that...
there's only one thing left to say, my friend.
Yeah. Go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
Husker Football Fan Podcast is an unofficial, non-commercial podcast and is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. The views expressed on this podcast belong solely to the individuals expressing them. The Husker Football Fan Podcast is not endorsed by or affiliated with the Nebraska Cornhuskers or the University of Nebraska.